Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the HD View. This is Melissa Blardy, your host, and tonight our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. When you call in, press 1, and our awesome producer, James, will cue you into the show. Please tell all your friends and family about Help for HD, the HD View, and click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming episodes. We are literally at 12,200 listeners now. Thank you for your support and interest in Help for HD programming. Unbelievable, those numbers. Anyway, we'll preface each show now by a little explanation of what Huntington's disease is and juvenile Huntington's disease. Huntington's disease is a hereditary and terminal disease which destroys neurons in the brain and slowly diminishes the affected person's ability to walk, talk, and reason. In time, they will rely completely upon others for everything. HD devastates entire families emotionally, psychologically, socially, and economically, generation after generation. Every child of someone with HD has a 50% chance of inheriting the gene mutation. Juvenile Huntington's disease, or JHD, is more rapid and virulent. They experience many additional traumatic symptoms like decline in scholastics, adverse behavior, seizures, dystonia, and other severe and painful conditions. Our JHD warriors need much more support and resources. And so now I would like for you, our incredible listeners out there in the Help for HD chat room, to type in your questions to us, and we'll take a short break and then return after afterwards with our incredible special guest. So we'll listen to the HD View soundtrack.
Thank you.
And we're back. That was quick. Our incredible special guest tonight is Sean Thompson, Public Relations Coordinator for the University of Iowa Center of Excellence and the PREDICT HD study. Sean leads multiple efforts aimed at informing our HD community of opportunities to participate in studies like PREDICT HD, and he also keeps our HD community up to date on advances being made because of people's willingness to participate in research studies. He really likes using YouTube and Facebook to reach our community, and he's enjoyed meeting people at several national and regional HD conventions and fundraisers. He's also been heavily involved in organizing the Hoopathon fundraisers for the Iowa chapter. Sean comes to healthcare public relations after starting out in journalism as a newspaper reporter in Wyoming, and he currently resides in Iowa City and also hosts a radio program with his brother at UI. Sean, welcome to the HD View. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, by the way. I just wanted to say thanks, and I'm a fan of the show, so it's really exciting for me to be on. Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to get you on the show for quite a while.
I know you
I'm
have.
Glad you finally got to.
Finally broke me down.
You're a busy guy. So tell us, what brought you to the field of public relations?
Well, so I studied journalism at the College of Journalism here at the University of Iowa. And after graduating, I started out in the newspaper business as a reporter in Wyoming, like you said in your intro. And then after that, I moved on to work on a couple of different presidential election campaigns. And I was sort of at a point where I was deciding what to do next. And I kind of decided I wanted to do public relations because I really enjoyed trying to get the word out about issues that I thought were important. And I enjoyed working with the media since I had been, you know, on the other side of it being a reporter. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed working with reporters. And I felt that I had a strong feeling that I wanted to help people and make a difference in people's lives, but I wasn't quite sure what that meant. And then, you know, I didn't have any science background. In fact, I was pretty bad at science classes in school.
Yeah.
But don't tell anyone, but my grades are pretty bad. But but I took an interest in health issues as a reporter, just covering different stories. I was a healthcare and hospital reporter for the two newspapers that I worked at, and just really found it to be interesting. And so I kind of decided the ideal job would involve doing public relations for, you know, some kind of organization that has a positive impact in people's lives, and ideally something related to healthcare. And so I found this position here at the university, and it somehow met all my criteria, and I've been working here for 3 years and really learned a lot about Huntington's disease and the brain and chronic neurological conditions and all sorts of stuff. And I think I could probably almost pretend to be a real scientist at this point, given all that I've learned.
You sound like a science guy now.
I'm getting there.
And I'm glad you chose public relations as opposed to politics.
Yes. They're similar in some ways, but yeah.
Yeah, very similar. Well, okay, so let's talk about researchers. And I know, you know, I've been involved with the Huntington Study Group for a little bit, and I really enjoyed that, but I had to kind of step back for a while because I'm caring for my son now more. But what can we do as advocates to help our researchers?
I think advocates and really anybody listening to the show right now, I'd say the most important thing you can do is to tell someone about an HD research study, or if you don't have a specific study that you're familiar with, you can just tell someone that there are studies currently enrolling and that are looking for new participants, because really it's all about spreading the word. That's the key thing. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not, you know, super versed on a certain study, just letting people know that these opportunities exist is the number one goal, I would say, for someone who's in the communications business related to HD research and HD studies. So I think that's the number one thing, and it's probably the easiest thing, hopefully, that people can do. Beyond that, if you're able, take part in a study yourself and tell everyone that you know about what you did and why you did it, especially because, you know, that's important to let people know what motivated you to be in a study, because, it, you know, people have different reasons, a variety of reasons for getting in studies, so it's good to share that if you can. And then you'll have that personal experience. So if you care about HD research, if you've had the experience, you can really be a powerful advocate for you know, encouraging others possibly to consider if it makes sense for them. You know, I know a lot of people in the HD advocacy, you know, realm are pretty active as far as communicating. So, you know, if you blog, you can blog about research studies. If you're into talking on Facebook, or if you're into message boards, you can try to start a conversation about research, see what people think about it, what studies they've been in, what their experiences were like. You can go to a support group and talk about research if you're involved in a support group. And then if, you know, a lot of advocates are involved in organizing events, then that's a big thing in the HD community, is a lot of it's event-based. So if you have an event coming up, you can help out by, you know, like displaying literature, displaying brochures and stuff at your fundraiser or at your conference. And better yet, I'd encourage people to invite study staff to come if they're local studies, or even if they're sort of a national study like Predict HD, let us know that you have an event coming up. And if we can't send someone, we'll definitely send stuff for you to put out. Just helps
right.
spread
awareness.
Well,
you did that for me, and that was incredible. I got this great package regarding Predict HD, and mm-hmm. I've shared it with my support group. I shared it at community events, and it's just been great to have those resources, because, you know, you can tell people about these studies, but if you don't have tangible, you know, items to open up the discussion, it's a little more difficult to explain things, right? Having
yep.
the brochures and the newsletters and a little giveaway type of a thing is a great thing to do, and it really does open up the conversation, I think, in a positive way. I've also spoken to different community groups, which has been really a great thing to do. Can't do that now, but I will again in the future, I'm sure. But now you're using YouTube and Facebook to reach
mm-hmm.
our HD community, which is helping quite a bit, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I do think it is. And, you know, using these new types of communication, and you can reach more people at once sometimes, and you can reach them in a way that maybe you wouldn't have been able to reach them by printing a brochure or even talking to them on the phone or you know, conversing by email. You can do different things with those different social media platforms. And you mentioned, you know, what can people do to help researchers. I think the other part of that is helping us improve our trials, our studies. So, you know, us at Predict HD, and I'm sure the other studies as well, are always looking for people to provide input on what researchers can be looking for, because we know that families know this disease better than anyone because they see it on a daily basis, they experience it. And actually, that's kind of the way that the Predict HD study was started, was families were telling my boss, Predict HD's principal investigator, Jane Paulson, they were telling her, you know, maybe that their wife or their mother or their brother were starting to change earlier than the conventional wisdom was
yep.
saying they were changing. And so that's kind of how the study started. People told her that they wanted their loved ones to stay healthy as long as possible so they could work and so they could exercise and enjoy their families and all that good stuff. So that's why we started Predict HD, and we're always looking for feedback on ways we can improve the research. You know, if it's something that happened at a research visit, didn't go well, maybe it was burdensome to the person in the study, maybe it was confusing, please tell us. You know, you can tell the
right.
coordinator.
And how would we send feedback to you? What would be the best way?
Well, if you're in a research study and something like that happens, you know, they make you do a test that you're just not really sure why
mm-hmm.
they did that or it didn't go well, you can tell the coordinator right there. And
okay.
that feedback should go back up the chain. But if you're not comfortable with that, most studies have a confidential evaluation form that you fill out, that you can leave comments on that. And if you're not comfortable doing that, you can always send us an email after the study, after the visit. You know, you can send an anonymous email if you want to. The Predict HD email address is predict-hd@uiowa.edu. So we're reachable that way. But, you know, any of those ways work. And just don't let something go by that if you think you have something that you can sort of help us with improving the
Good
study.
Good point.
Yeah.
Communication, right?
It's yeah,
really
two-way
important.
Thing.
And, you know, about studies, I mean, we really can't advance without them, right?
Right.
So they're really kind of a critical step in the process of finding viable treatments and the cure. So, you know, without it, we just don't go anywhere. It's a really important thing to do.
That's right. And it's, like I was saying, it is a definitely a two-way thing. So we ask for feedback from you guys, but we need to provide, you know, the information about what we're finding out. So when we have findings that come out, whether it's in a published medical journal or something like that, we need to put it in a way that people can understand. So we try to do that in Predict with writing newsletter articles and putting things on our website to make the findings more understandable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a website like HD Buzz has been so great for what they've been doing. They, you know, they can take this complex issue, article that was published in a medical journal, where if I read it, it would hardly make sense to me, but they break it down and make it understandable.
Right.
And it's really important for us to tell people what we're finding out, especially those who are taking part in research, because they're the ones who are giving their time and their effort, and it's up to us to let them know what we're finding out. And really, it's the research study of the participant. It's not, you know, the researcher's study. It's their, it's your study if you're taking part in a study, because you're giving yourself your time and your effort and your information to us to start
right.
to try to find
well,
out what's going on.
First that I really like that does what you just described is Dr. LaVon Goodman's website,
mm-hmm.
HD Drug Works. She, you know, she takes these studies, summarizes them, and puts them in a format that, you know, even I can understand.
mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I don't have access to all of the same medical journal information,
right.
results, that kind of thing,
yep.
I can't access those items without paying, you know, money, which I don't
right.
have.
Right.
So what I really do appreciate in her on her website is how she does combine studies and summarizes and comes up with a very understandable, straightforward piece of information that, you know, you can take to your support group and that kind of thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's really important to be able to disseminate information in a way that we can all understand. Not that we're stupid, it's just some of the medical things are very complicated and very, you know, hard to understand.
Agreed. I think it's just as important for us to make sure we work with people like Dr. Goodman and HD Buzz and, you know, do it ourselves as researchers to put this
right.
information in a way that people can understand. I think it's just as important to do that as it is to actually do the research itself, because without
right.
one without
has,
the other, it's not, you know, it's not
right.
as beneficial.
How long has Predict been going on then now?
Predict's been going on since 2001, so about
okay.
10 or 11 years at this point, yeah.
So we have some pretty darn good information from that study, right?
We do. We've learned a lot about the earliest signs of HD, and that's kind of the aim of Predict is to find the earliest signs of HD and use that information to both inform, you know, clinical trials that are coming up to try to test different treatments for early HD. So if we can treat HD at the earliest point, hopefully it won't start to affect people until much later in life, if not at all. If we can,
mm-hmm.
you know, delay onset for as long as possible, then people can enjoy their families and continue to work and stuff. So that's what we're doing. And we found several of these early signs, you know, everything from loss in brain volume in certain places in the brain to, you know, some cognitive changes that begin to happen, you know, 10 to 15 years before a traditional motor diagnosis of Huntington's disease. So we've been able to use that information to help inform the design of clinical trials like the PREQUEL study, and we're continuing to do that.
Great. Now, is that on a YouTube video yet?
Some of it is, yeah. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, Jane Paulson is some of her speeches from the HDSA conventions and other conventions are up there on YouTube. So when she talks, you know, in those types of settings, she's able to explain it where it's understandable.
Well, I've always been a visual person anyway, so I really appreciate the fact that you're putting things up on YouTube, and it's one of the reasons why I'm so drawn to what James Falvano is doing with his project and documentary is that, you know, words tell a story, but pictures explain everything.
I agree, yep.
And the visual experience is so much more complete, I think, and you can read people's body language, you can, you know, make out things that you really can't from the written word. So I think it's really important what you're doing. Now you and your brother are doing a radio show as well.
We are. Yep.
Called?
We do. Our show is called the Sean and Corey Thompson Show. So Corey's my brother.
Yep.
Real creative name. We spent all of our creative juices on the name. So after that, it was kind of downhill.
Very
but.
Good.
So we just we kind of do a fun show. We just we try to have fun, and it's kind of a entertainment for us mainly. So
yeah. Well, so now HDO is going to be having podcasts coming soon. So will you be heading up the HDO podcast?
Not that I'm aware of, unless they want to hire me. My agent's available if they want to talk to but I did see that they're doing podcasts, and I actually talked to some of the people there. Do we know if the listeners know what HDO is?
I think so. Yeah. I'm
okay. So
sure.
it's the new youth organization, Matt Ellison's been on your show before, and he's talked about some of the things they're going to do.
And he also accused me of stealing his radio idea.
But I think you're going to coexist together, because it sounds like so Matt and then BJ View has been on your show also.
Yes.
Then some of the others, Brent Stainsby, Catherine Martin, and Michelle O'Brien are all on the HDO board,
wow.
And they're. Their podcast is going to be sort of, from what they tell me, like an audio version of some of the stuff that's on their website. So, and that should be coming soon. I know they just, launched the website in early February. So,
yep. Very good. Well, I've been kind of watching them to see what they're doing with what they're going to do with their podcast. But of course, they're not revealing anything as of yet. But I'm very curious to know what they're going to do.
Coming soon, from what I understand.
Yeah. And BJ View and Hoopathon fundraising, how's that going? Are you doing the Hoopathon this year?
Yeah, so we're going to be, we've been involved with the Hoopathons in the state of Iowa for the past, several years. They've been doing them here in Iowa. And we've been helping to organize one in Iowa City for the past 2 years. 2010 was the first year that we did one in Iowa City, and we're going to have one again this year, and we're going to be involved in that as well. So it's a chance for us as people who work in the HD Center and people who do research to kind of get involved in a different way to help raise some money. And a big thing for us, too, with that is to help raise awareness about Huntington's disease in general, because having an event like that is a really great opportunity locally to get some attention raised about the disease.
Right.
We can get some media coverage and stuff like that. So that's kind of a twofold reason why we get involved with the fundraisers.
Yeah. And now with the Hoopathons, does the money raised go to a specific thing, or is it just go to HDSA?
Usually the money goes to the state chapter. For the state that it's in, so for Iowa, the money goes to the state of Iowa's HDSA chapter. I know probably the same with California. I know they have a big one in San Diego out there each year. And then so our money goes to the state chapter, and some of that money goes to fund the HDSA Center here at the University of Iowa. Some of it goes to fund, here at the center we have a specialty clinic for people with HD, and we have an HD support group.
Right.
And then some of the money helps to fund research and educational materials put out by the HDSA National Organization, as well as, HDO is funded in part by HDSA, so some of the money goes there, and then HD Buzz and stuff like that. So lots of different great causes.
Yep. I know Lundbeck funds a lot of that stuff, too.
Yep.
But anyway. Okay, so how can people reach you, Sean? What's the best way if we want to connect with you, email or?
The best way to reach me personally would be email. You can email me directly at Sean, which is SEAN-Thompson, THOMPSON, at uiowa.edu.
Okay.
That's my email address. And then we have, like I said, we do have a Facebook page on for our center on Facebook, so I think the easiest way to find it is just to search Facebook, and you can search Iowa Huntington disease, and it should come up
okay.
as one of the first responses.
Good to know.
And then, like I said, we do have the YouTube page for the PREDICT study. So if you go on YouTube and search PREDICT HD, you'll find
uh-huh.
it. And you can subscribe and you can watch the videos that we have up there.
Yeah, sure.
PredictHD.net is our website for the study. And then, let's see, we do have a website for our center also. And if you just Google Iowa Huntington disease, it should come up as probably the first response, the first result.
Awesome.
So.
Okay,
lots
I think we're
going
to take a break real quick, and then we'll come back. We have some announcements, and maybe we have some questions from our guests in the chat room. James, you want to take us on a break? We're back. Hello, everybody. And we have Sean Thompson with us today, tonight. We have an interesting question from the chat room that I'd like to ask Sean, and then we'll have some announcements and upcoming shows. Somebody in the chat room wants to know, what exactly do they do in these research studies? It's kind of a broad question, but that's okay because you can give us some information about how they set up the studies and what they actually do, Sean?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because what I found is it's just when I started in this job, I kind of assumed that people would have misconceptions about what HD research is and what you do when you go in for a visit and stuff like that. And it turned out that people just didn't really know, you know, what a research visit was like. They had no particular expectations. They just were unaware of what it would be like unless they'd already been in a study. So that's part of the reason why we decided to make our YouTube video, which I think is been the most successful. It's been watched the most, and it takes you through what a research visit is like, step by step. So it shows you each of the steps, you know, what we do, and it kind of does it with a humorous slant, which I think makes it more fun to watch and more watchable.
Right.
But so I would say to go to the YouTube channel. Again, if you go to YouTube and search predict-HD, you'll be able to find our channel. And that video is on there, so I would definitely check that one out. I think the title is HD Research Heroes, something to that effect.
Great.
So that would be my first recommendation. But basically, when you come in for a research visit, I'll take the PREDICT-HD study as an example. You come in, and that's just an observational study. So you come in once a year for your research visit. We have about 20 different sites in the United States and then 28 sites total internationally. And you come in for your visit, and you're seen by a coordinator, and you do a variety of different cognitive tests, which test thinking ability. And most of those are done on a computer now, so it's kind of like playing a computer game, essentially. And then, you know, we do things like we do a blood draw, we do a urine sample, and we do an MRI scan with the So it's essentially like getting an MRI scan to see what's going on in the brain to see changes, if there's any changes from one year to the next. And then we do some psychiatric interviews with the coordinator, and we do a motor examination, and we do some questionnaires to just kind of tell us about your day-to-day functioning. And then if at all possible, we ask that you bring in a companion, which, you know, usually might be a spouse or might be a brother, sister, or a child, or something like that. Somebody who kind of sees you on a regular basis and can answer some questions about you. And that pretty much is it. So it's a pretty full day. It's about 8 hours typically. But we do everything we can to make the visit as convenient for people. So we pay for travel. If you need to fly, we pay for that. So we pay for airplane tickets. And then if you need to stay overnight, we do provide payment for that as well. So we try to make it just, you know, as easy as possible, because we do know it, you know, people have to take time out of their lives to do this, and we want to make that possible for them. So
we had a comment in the chat room. It says, is that the video with BJ in it?
It is the one.
And and she says, if yes, it's outstanding, and yes, humorous.
Good.
That was from Judy Robertson.
Okay, thanks, Judy. I'm glad you liked
it.
We tried to do it a little tongue-in-cheek with the humorous slant.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
BJ was a good sport.
Yep. I had that one posted on my blog for a while. It was pretty funny.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So kind of each research or study is set up in the same kind of format, do you think?
Yeah, the observational studies are going to be very similar to what I just described. So when Enroll-HD is back up and running, it's going to be very similar to that. So you'll come in once a year and do a series of tests. And the reason we do the testing is because we can, you know, then we can tell if something has changed from one year to the next, and then try to make, you know, determinations on that. And we can't do it on an individual basis, but we do it combining everybody's information together. So you look at it in the aggregate, is how it's said. So all that data put together, then you can start to see trends, and you can start to pinpoint what are some of those early changes that we're trying to find. So then we can find those drug treatments or whatever treatment it is to try to alleviate those symptoms from occurring before they even start to affect somebody. So,
are you able to identify more biomarkers at this point?
Yeah, that's part of the reason why we take the, you know, the blood and the urine samples is to do that. And we actually, we have done some of that so far. I know that researchers have just kind of a full spectrum of things that they want to look at. You know, for instance, cholesterol is something that they're looking at. And I think other things in those biomarkers to try to determine, you know, what changes are you seeing from year to year? How does that correlate? How does that fit in with the changes that we might see in brain volume? Or how does that fit in with the change that we might see in somebody's cognitive abilities? And we're going to be seeing more of the biomarker results soon, because we're actually going to be starting up a number of different sub-studies thanks to some generous funding from the National Institutes of Health. So we're going to be looking at more biomarker results.
Now, are you tracking comorbidities at all?
What do you mean by that?
Like, for example, if someone has Huntington's but they have diabetes, or if somebody has Huntington's and maybe they have Addison's, or, for example, you know, I'm dealing with a situation where my son has multiple genetic, you know, conditions, you know, Huntington's, diabetes, Klinefelter's, Addison's,
you
know, those kinds of things. Is anybody doing any studies like that?
We're definitely looking at what other things might be affecting somebody. So we ask in the questionnaires that we do for PREDICT, we do, you know, we ask a full medical history. So we ask, you know, if you have any other conditions that might be affecting you. And, you know, we ask about everything from, you know, diet sometimes, not so much in PREDICT, I guess, but we do ask about, you know, medications that you might be on, if you have any history of drug or alcohol abuse and all that type of stuff. And even down
I'm
to...
I'm sure you're going
to
get a honest response on that.
Well, you know, sometimes we might, but
oh my goodness,
just like it, just like any doctor with that question, you sometimes you might not get the fullest answer. But and then, you know, even down to something very small and minute, like we have a one of our tasks that we do is a tapping task, so we see if someone can you're supposed to try to tap your finger to the beat of like a metronome type sound, and we do ask if you have any musical background, if you, you know, play the piano or something. So we take that into account, because that might make you a really effective tapper or something like that. So we do look at that, you know, all the different, we try to capture as many of those other environmental factors or whatever might be affecting what we're seeing as results.
Oh, we have a question.
Yes.
James? Hi.
We have a question from someone in the chat room.
Okay.
Is there an official natural history study already underway for HD and or JHD, to your knowledge?
I know that the Enroll-HD study, which I mentioned before, is going to be starting up here soon this year, and that's kind of taking the place of the old cohort study, which people might be familiar with. And we had a site here at the University of Iowa for the cohort study, and that was part of a, you know, kind of a larger study run by the HSG. And the new Enroll study is going to be building on what was learned in that. So that's kind of, a lot of researchers have referred to that as the overall natural history study for HD. And then for JHD, we've been doing some sort of JHD study here. And I know we had some guests on the show that talked with you, Melissa, Jane Paulson, like you mentioned before, and Stacey Vick were on to talk about that study. So we have collected data on juvenile Huntington's disease as well for a natural history study. So we're looking to build on that one, especially because there's a lot more to find out about JHD, as you said before. But those are the two that I'm aware of. But cohort and Enroll especially, they're collecting tons of data on just a variety, you know, lots of different people enrolled in that study, because pretty much anybody who's in an HD family is eligible to take part in that study. So if you're in an HD family, maybe if you've tried to be in some other study and you didn't meet the criteria, I would definitely keep your ears open and your eyes peeled for Enroll-HD when it starts up, because the criteria to be in that study is pretty open. So it's really a great opportunity if people want to take part in research.
That's great. Now, Jane Paulson, Dr. Paulson, and Stacey Vick were on Help for JHD actually on October 10th. So if you want to go listen to that show, it's archived October 10th, 2011. That was a great show. And she did talk about that a little bit. You know, our JHD community is needing a lot more work and research. And so I'm really, really thrilled that Jane Paulson is heading that up. She's fabulous. And appreciate all that you're doing there at University of Iowa and all that Dr. Paulson's doing. And James, did you have another question? Do we somebody wanted to know if we had an ETA on the JHD study.
Yeah, they wanted to know, even though that's taking place, do we have an estimated time as to when that'll come out, more information?
As far as releasing results and stuff like that, we don't have an estimated time. As soon as we you know, are able to make conclusions on that type of data, we always get it published as soon as we can, as soon as possible. So, like I said, we've collected some data in our JHD study, and I know that we're aiming to continue to collect data and only try to expand that study, as well as some other JHD studies. Or some other, I guess, youth HD studies that are taking place here at the University of Iowa. There's another researcher here at the university named Pegnopoulos who's doing a HD study for children at risk for HD, and she does brain scan or MRI scans with that one. So there's a lot underway, and certainly we're trying to collect that data and start to publish some results from that.
Very good. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to tell our listeners, Sean, that maybe I left out a question or two?
No, I just think, like we talked about before, finding, you know, any way that we can to reach people and to keep this conversation going. I think this radio show has been an amazing step forward in keeping the HD community informed, and I love how it's becoming more interactive with the questions being submitted. It's really cool. So
yeah, it is cool. Well, we have James to thank for that, and my Jimbo, because you know, in the beginning it was just me, and BJ helped out when he could as my my co-host and my producer, and then he took another job and I lost him. So, but I have James Valvano now, who I have to say I'm so proud to have him with me. He does more advocacy work in 20 hours a day than most people can do in a year. And, I mean, he had the website and the app all put together within just a very short amount of time with all the bells and whistles. And plus he's filming for the documentary. He's just, and he's taking phone calls. But so I am just thrilled to death to have James with me now. But, you know, we'll continue to produce a show that the people want, you know, as things change and as people need more information. You know, they start to listen to the show and then they realize, oh, maybe we can ask some questions. I think it's opening the dialogue up a little bit. But as far as research and clinical trials and clinical research, I can't say enough how important it is and how much we need it. Before we can go forward with any treatments or the cure, we have fabulous researchers out there in research land, but they need us to, you know, tell other people about it. They need us to be their mouthpiece, to be their, you know, advocate, so to speak, as well, so that they can focus on what they do best, and that's research. And we have a fabulous researcher here in California, Jan Nolte, and she's doing amazing work with stem cell, mesenchymal stem cell, which is the adult stem cell. And we're really proud of her and encouraging people to check her website out. We have a page now dedicated for her on wehaveaface.org, Jan Nolte, and ask everyone to look at that and it's amazing what our researchers are doing. James, I think we have a couple of announcements. Did you want to take a break first, or do you want to go ahead and go into the announcements?
Whichever is best. If you want to go ahead into the announcements, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, let's do that, and then we can take a break, or if we have other questions, we can handle those too. We have some exciting stuff, really, on wehaveafaith.org. James, you want to tell us about that?
Well, today we got an email from someone in the community, which is among the many that we have in the past 6 weeks, regarding needing adaptive equipment, whether that be spoons, knives, shower chairs, regular chairs, Hoyer lifts. And we've been trying to put together a place where community members can come and let us know what their needs are, and then in turn get back with them with resources in and around their community. So we literally released wehaveafaith.org/needs today, so that they can go to the website, fill out an online form, specify what it is that they're looking for. We can't promise that we can get it for them, but the one thing we definitely will is hunt it down to see if we can find it in their area, put them in touch with any resource. So that was something that we piloted today that we wanted to for a while now, but we needed to get the particular situated first. So that is something that we're really proud to offer. So if you're listening and if you have a special need, adaptive equipment, you can visit wehaveafaith.org/needs. N-E-E-D-S, and once we get your request, we will do our best to search your area for a resource and then put you in contact with them.
Awesome, James. And if you have equipment that you would like to donate, you can also send either me at helphdinternational.org, or you can email James at wehaveafaith.org and let us know what it is that you're wanting to post up. And we can post it on the website, right, James?
Absolutely. I mean, in a lot of the Facebook groups, that has been one of the most wonderful things, to see the community come together to offer items that they may not need any longer to those who can't afford to purchase them themselves. So
yes,
it's definitely been an amazing thing where everyone's just pulling together. It's fantastic.
Yep, yep. Well, I have a gentleman here in California that has been trying to donate some items, so I'll be posting those up as well.
And, you know, once we get a pool of items and we gauge what's going on, because, of course, obviously we need to be fair because there may be so many people out there that need one specific item. So we'll just try and do our best to connect those closest to the areas.
Right. So the more people that know about this, the more the better it will be for us.
Absolutely.
To
absolutely
help out. That's what our goal is, to try to help everyone. Upcoming shows and announcements: February 27, we have the HD View with Dr. Ellen Fiegel from CIRM, the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. She'll be on February 27. March 5, the HD View Ask Dr. Goodman show. March 12 is open at this point. March 16, the HD View We Have a Face film review. James, you want to tell us a little bit about your filming?
I'm getting so excited. We were speaking today with a bunch of the team that are going to be coming here to Orlando. It's going to be a week full of joy and tears, because some of us are meeting for the first time in 3 years. So we're going to be filming the week of March 12th through the 19th. And then that Friday on the 16th, we're going to actually have something very special, and I'm not going to give it up just yet.
Oh, brother.
But hopefully next week we will have more information as what's going to take place on the 16th.
Okay, well, you can keep us on pins and needles on that one.
Well,
okay,
it's a special show that we'll have on a Friday, so that we're going to be announcing a couple of things. But
ooh,
everybody will just stay tuned, yes.
Okay. Get ready to party, huh?
Yes.
Okay, then March 17, we have kind of a tentative JHD View 2012. We had this last Saturday, we had a really awesome JHD View, the JHD View 2012 first show, where some of us JHD moms got together, and it was very emotional. It was enlightening, and I think it's something that will take off in the near future. March 19, I have another open date. These are Mondays. March 12 and March 19, I am open for anyone who is wanting to come on the show and tell us what you're doing to either advocate or if you're wanting to get involved in advocacy, awareness, education, anything like that, we'd love to have you on the show. March 26th, the HD View with HSG and Prana Reach 2 HD. It's going to be a new study, and somebody from HSG will be on. I'm not sure who it's going to be yet. And that should be a great show. And I think, do we have any other questions, James, from our chat room?
No, yeah. Actually. Wait a minute. We have another question. I'm not sure whether or not we have the answer to it, but someone's asking, do we know when Dr. Beverly Davidson would be starting her RNAi gene therapy clinical trials?
I don't know if Sean knows anything. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know when she would be starting. I do know that she is trying to move in that direction of doing an RNA gene therapy clinical trial. But she just she's made some really amazing breakthroughs so far as, you know, doing I think it was with a mouse model, being able to show that you can either decrease or kind of shut off the repeat in the CAG length that causes Huntington's disease. So she's shown a lot of promising information so far that will hopefully move toward what he's talking about with clinical trials, but not sure when that's going to happen. So, but definitely stay tuned to see what Beverly Davidson, because she just keeps coming out with amazing results. So,
and does she have a website, Sean?
She does have. I know her research lab has a website. URL is probably some long extension after
Google,
UIL.
Maybe if we Google Dr. Beverly Davidson, we might find it.
I bet if you Google Beverly Davidson in Iowa, it should be one of the top two or three results, I would think.
She's not with your university, though, is she?
She is. She's with the University of Iowa. Yep. So she works on, like, the genetic side of research. So working with, like, the RNAi interference, stuff like that. And, you know, we're certainly aware of her research, and I think, you know, if we get to the stage where we're doing clinical trials, we're going to be working closely together. But we follow what she comes out with just as excited as everyone else in the HD community does. So we're proud of her here at the University of Iowa, and she's doing some really amazing things.
Great. Well, I can't wait to hear what she's up to. And it looks like we have a post already in the chat room. Let's see. It says www.healthcare.uiowa.edu/labs/Davidson. Is that it? I think that's it.
Yes. I bet that's it. Yep. One of those long email, one of those long website addresses.
Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan just posted that for us. Thank you so much. Well, without further ado, I think if we don't have any further questions, I think we are ready to end the show. Yeah. And
Thank you so much, Sean.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for coming on, and I finally got you on. So thank you, and keep up the good work, and we'll be in contact.
Okay, thank you. Same to you.
Y'all
keep
have
up
a
great
night. Aw, thank you. Thank you, everyone in the chat room and listening to the program. Thank you. Have a great night. everybody. I just want to tell you thank you again for tuning in. Jonathan, Kimberly, and special guests out there, thank you for tuning in tonight. You have a great evening, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Have a good day. Bye-bye.